Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Previously on Three of Hearts. Agents Vellum and Felspar finally reunited with Jack Spade, albeit under most unusual circumstances. The city guard perceived Jack to be the deceased giant Sanguinea and attempted to capture him. Vellum and Spar separated Jack's spirit from his body, which continued to flee, and learned that Jack was lured to Stoneloft when someone vandalized Sanguinea's grave. He was captured by Bridge upon arrival. Brambleguard Knight Nat arrived on scene to capture Jack as well, but was subdued by Spar after a brief fight. Before the entire party could be apprehended by the Stoneloft guard, Ishbala arrived on scene and placed him under arrest as an agent of Scales. Meanwhile, Vellum used magic to commune with Jack's body and soul in some kind of spirit plane, where Jack appeared as a fusion of Jack and Sanguinea. Seems like they have a lot to talk about. Nat was skirmishing with you, but you just backed off after magically shouting at her. Spar magically shouted at her. She got kind of intimidated. Vellum and Jack are both unconscious on the ground. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say there are no more pink auras around Jack, and pink aura Jack is gone. And then Ishbala showed up and told the guard of... where are we, Stoneloft? That she was going to take you in as a representative of Scales. Like, under the authority of Scales.
I would like to know, is this my Ishbala, or is this an alternate universe Stoneloft Ishbala?
Well, that's such a good question that you're going to have to flip wit investigation to figure out. And, of course, you get to sleuth.
I know her name.
This is going on, Vellum is out of it, but Ela wants to know, would Vellum be familiar with Scales as a entity in this world?
No, not at all.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Okay, so, wit is 4, investigation is 4, so that's 8, sleuthing makes 9, and we don't get our healthy bonus, so it stays at 9. Uh-huh. So that is 1, 2 plus a crit. I would like 5 successes to tell whether this is my pal.
Here they are, on a platter. Okay, so yeah, you want to know if it's an alternate universe Ishbala or your Ishbala. The answer is yes, because... this Ishbala doesn't have a magical pink aura. She's not made of magic. But when you look into her eyes, her crocodile eyes, almost like swirling within the pupil, is that faint, like, pink magic. It lets you know that something is amiss here.
So this isn't like a Max situation where, like, this is an alternate person. This is probably, like... Ishbala, but like maybe being possessed or puppeted by something?
That's a really plausible conclusion, yeah.
Okay.
And one of the Stoneloft guards, a halfling holding an old-timey rifle, kind of like still pointing it in like Spar and Nat's direction, but now looking in Ishbala's direction, is like, what is this, Scales? We don't recognize such an authority. And Ishbala looks perplexed and is like, You know, Scales. Studying, curating, and locking errant sorcery.
Good.
And all the guards just, like, shake their heads.
They tilt their heads and the little question marks appear above them.
Uh-huh. And one of the guards says, let's arrest her, too, just to be safe.
And the guards.
Sorry. Can I get that acronym one more time? Studying.
That is SCALES: studying, curating, and locking errant sorcery.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. I've wanted to tickle in my throat this episode. It's just gonna have to live with it collectively.
The audience mostly won't, so it'll mostly be SA who has to live with it collectively.
I love you, SA.
I tell you, I don't get paid enough for this gig.
That is definitely true.
I'm gonna unionize. That'll show them.
SA is unionizing, which means that she's striking until you all donate to Patreon. Oh.
Yeah, I believe in this metaphor, the audience is my bosses. So the whole collective action thing, I think, is really not going to work.
Fuck.
It's a thought that counts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, thank you. I just was trying to take notes. And...
Yeah, no, it's okay. We're here to be silly. That's one of the things we're here for. Just to reset the scene a little bit, you are in like a square and all the exits are blocked by guards.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere above you flying is the giant heron, Kalinda.
Yeah, and Spar had fully tackled Nat and was like holding her in a grapple. Like,
oh, that's right, that's right.
Like, threatening her, like not going to do her harm grapple, but restraining her grapple.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think has just stayed on the ground, like watching this place out with with Nat kind of like wrapped up. He probably has like an armbar across her throat and like is not applying pressure, but is just like, okay, chilling, chilling. Also, she headbutted him so hard that he took 2 damage. So that's also just, it's not often Spar actually gets damaged.
Yeah, that's fair. The guards are approaching. Some of them are like removing manacles from their waist, like they're gonna arrest some fools. And Spar, you hear Merafina's voice in your head, and she says, "We're going. Shall I take Ishbala with us?"
Yes.
And then the next thing you know, you're not in that square anymore.
Is Nat?
Nat came with you.
Okay.
What about,
Velum and Jack are also coming.
Max.
And Max.
Okay.
Suddenly, there's like a little whooshing sound. And I think I've kind of described this teleportation before. It's like it almost feels like the world is like spinning around you while you're standing still. And then the world kind of resettles and you're somewhere else. And it's very nauseating. You find yourself in a back room of some place. It's like wood, like made of wood, bare, like a bare wooden floor, pretty unadorned, and there are bunk beds here and crates labeled canned goods. Ishbala looks very alarmed. Merafina takes like a wheezing breath and like steadies herself against the wall. Max pukes. Loses his lunch in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to flip something for Nat. Spar, can you give me a brawn athletics as Nat is thrashing about in your grip?
But is the room that we're in, like, enclosed? Like, has, like, closed doors?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He lets her go.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind then.
He didn't want her or the bird to kidnap Jack, but if we're, like, in an enclosed room, and, like, mm-hmm. some fuck shit is clearly going on. That, like, he's not holding a grudge yet.
She gets 2 successes to break free, and so Spar doesn't even fight back, and she just, like, puts way too much force into trying to escape, and, like, staggers forward and, like, bonks her noggin on one of the bunk beds.
He goes to grab the back of her shirt to stop her from bonking her head.
Okay,
he like, does the reflex of, like, oh.
And I just want to shout out. That was my first flip with my new deck of cards, which is Kirby-themed, given me by former vigilante of the show, Kit. Thank you, Kit.
Well, Kit wasn't a vigilante. Maybe Kit's a vigilante.
Well, Kit wasn't a former vigilante. Kit still is a vigilante.
Kit, if you're on the call, you have to tell me. Clap twice if you're on the call.
Ela, what were you saying?
I was going to ask Spar how he was feeling, since we know he doesn't especially like the hover cars. Regular cars are fine, but...
Right, yeah. I don't think he liked it, but I also don't know the last time he ate, so...
Okay, yeah.
Either it was a net like, ugh.
That's so fair. Nat turns to Spar, like, kind of wrist resting from his his steadying grip, and, like, looks him dead in the eye and says, I'm going to ask one more time nicely. What did you do to me?
He holds his hands up and says, I genuinely have no idea what you're talking about. What happened to you? What are you asking me about?
I have a memory. A new memory. On a day where I was just in the office, in the mayor's office, not working particularly hard, and suddenly I have another memory of the same day, at the same time, and you are there, and you are helping to rescue me from a hostage situation?
Oh, yeah, that's not me. That you want to take that up with Gambler.
She, like... Sorry, I'm gonna steal a word from my girlfriend's lexicon and say, she looks gumper snatched.
Can we get a gloss on that? Country of origin?
I think Shelby's family is Irish.
I was gonna say it sounds like a Lewis Carroll word, like the Jabberwocky.
Yeah, yeah. Just perplexed, but more whimsical. Can you flip? What's flip for sincerity? Can you flip charm empathy?
Yeah. Charm is 2, empathy is 4, so that's 6.
Okay.
Well, I don't think she believes a word I just said. That's no successes.
Oh, dear.
But no joker either.
No jokers.
I think for that... She's not disarmed, right? Because you didn't, like, get through to her on an emotional level.
Yeah.
But you do, I think, on just, like, a logic level. I don't know if logic's the right word, but, like, she just kind of, like, puts a hand to her head and, like, kind of slumps. She, like, sits on the lower bunk of this bunk bed.
Mm-hmm.
And more of, like, a... She's surrendering. She doesn't know what the fuck to do in the situation.
Fair.
And says, well... I can blame you and the gambler at the same time.
Sure. No, I'm just saying it wasn't intentional on my part. Things like this happen near me. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe like fuck off if that's not what you want. But I didn't choose to do that too. That was not intentional.
She's like, there's nothing I want less than to not be near you anymore. But unfortunately, sorry, there's nothing I want more than to not be near you anymore. But, unfortunately, the only way that's going to happen is when I hand you over to Governor Thorne in manacles. So, let's just get to that, shall we?
I'd really rather not, actually. I'm already busy. Could I get back to you in a few days?
I'm going to flip something to see how well she is at controlling her temper. And then we're going to get to Ela in a second. Okay. That's a 1 success on self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So her nostrils flare. She lets out just a heated breath. And then we're going to cut to Vellum.
Real quick. Has Spar clocked that Vellum is passed out right now?
Yeah, I think Spar noticed that in the whole kerfuffle last time.
I don't think so, because that happened at the time that he was actively being headbutted by Matt.
Okay.
And so I was thinking that night, I think, like, because she was in his arms and then he is trying to talk her down, I don't think he has...
He's fully noticed.
Like, yeah, I think he will notice, like, in the next second, but I don't think he's had time.
Yeah, that's so valid.
Yeah, especially because she is physically here and physically wants to take and or harm Jack.
Yeah.
So he's, like, laser focused in.
Yeah. Valid. Okay. So Ela, Vellum, you are still in that ghostly version of the Stoneloft Square. Standing before you is a non-ghostly looking version of Sanguinea, except that Seer Head is Jack. Well, not Jack's whole body. Seer Head is a corgi head. Which I've decided it's a little bit more alarming if it's like proportional to giant size. So it's like a giant Jack head.
So we've got Vellum and Jack's bodies with Spar, and are these pink spirit versions are still in the square?
No, nobody's in the square. It's just you two. Oh yeah, I guess you would see the ghost. Yeah, sorry, you would see everyone else. The ghost for the pink ghost versions are gone, but you see Spar and everybody. But they're like muted. Like their colors are wrong. Like they're like a less real version of the world than everything else. And you can't really hear them or interact with them. So the only things that seem super real to you are yourself and Jack. Jack Winnia.
Okay. I thought that Merafina had teleported everyone away, but has she more...
This is before that.
Oh.
We're jumping back to you just started talking to Jack.
Oh.
Like, you just went into Jack's little ghost realm. Because remember, that was where we left off at the end of the last episode. Sorry, I didn't say properly. So yeah, we're starting with you just having gotten there. And I want to say that the action in the square is unfolding, like, almost in slow motion. Jack is looking at you and looking around at the strange scene and says, Vellum, what is this?
That is a very good question. Can Vellum try to study what he's looking at and flip to see if he can suss out some stuff?
Give me a wit arcana to try to pull this out in the moment.
Okay, wit is 3, arcana is 4. We don't have the healthy flip right now, right?
Correct.
But I can do eclectic, so that's one more. Okay. What do we have? We have 2 jacks and a queen. A jack of spades and a jack of hearts.
Oh man, jack of spades, it just does really mean something in jack scenes. That's a okay, so 3 successes. Yeah, that's pretty good. So, I mean, is it plausible that Spar has told Vellum what it was like when he interacted with Kronozava?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then you recognize this like descriptor of like, you don't really know the terminology for it. I don't think there really is terminology for it. But you're in this weird liminal space between the corporeal realm and the realm of the goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like a weird sliver between realities. Yeah, everything else feels like everything that was physical to you a moment ago feels like background noise. And the only thing that feels totally real is Jack. Now, you can kind of imagine from what happened with Spar in the past that you still have some amount of tether to your body. And that, you know, you can hopefully wake up again at some point. But right now, you are with Jack. And we'll say, like I said, things are slowing down. Things are slowed down outside. And, like, in the corporeal world. So while you are assessing this out and looking around, like, Ijbala is really slowly announcing what scale stands for. Which you can't hear. I'm just letting you know where in the timeline we are.
Okay. So Vellum will explain as well as he can what he thinks is going on about them being kind of in that liminal space.
Okay.
He gestures to Jack Sanguinea.
Mm-hmm.
And asks, does this feel normal for you?
Jack looks down at his body and goes, what the hell are you talking about, Vellum? No, this doesn't feel normal to me.
I mean, I didn't want to assume.
It feels kind of good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I think.
You're a bit taller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could carry Gregans around.
Yeah, yeah. I bet he'd like that.
He would. He says, what are you doing in Stoneloft?
Well, Jack, we were looking for you.
Hmm. Okay. Oh, right. I remember you said someone gave you a mission to go to Clovenheart?
Yeah. Yeah, that too. We were investigating in Clovenheart, found some weird stuff, made it to... What's the name of the other city?
Cindershore? Stoneloft? Cindershore?
Cindershore. I was all I could think of was Sullen Spade, and I was like, that's not it.
That's another one.
We made it to Cindershore, ran into more things. And then we finally found that. No, go ahead. You can interrupt because I don't know where I was going with that sentence.
Okay. I was going to say a thing you remembered is that Jack is probably from Sullen Spade. Mm. You intuited because of his last name. And so that is, I mean, in addition to just wanting to make sure Jack is safe, that is one of the reasons you wanted to talk to him and see what he knows, if he knows what the hell is going on. Because it seems like Fomentera is trapped in Sullen Spade.
Right, right. We have had more encounters with deities than I expected on this mission. How much do you know about Thaumatera?
Well, I did speak to them once. Hmm. And you can see, like, his ears kind of fold back and he's, like, sort of confused.
Hmm.
Or Jack spoke to them once, and I mean, kind of Jack. Yeah. I spoke to Thaumatera once, and Jasper formed a connection with them, and we spoke about the untethering.
Mm.
Right. There's something important I'm supposed to tell you.
Oh.
Well, not supposed to tell you, supposed to tell Spar. Is Spar here?
He's over there. What is it?
I wasn't supposed to tell. I was supposed to not tell. But it became relevant. It seems relevant. I think one of the reasons that I was kidnapped and separated from Spar could be that, and Spar was sent on a strange mission, and Thaumatera told us that Spar had a piece of their magic inside of him.
Yes. Can confirm.
Oh, you know that. Okay. All right. Late deliver. Okay.
Very distantly. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
They told us not to tell. They didn't want him to know. They didn't want him to. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sounds like he knows.
That connection appears to be awakening, strengthening. I'm not sure. Spar's been having some visions, dreams, one of which involved Thaumatera being imprisoned in Sullen Spade, I believe.
Hmm. Okay. Well, this is perfect because Sanguinea is back now, and Sanguinea knows all about Sullen Spade. And, like, Z can handle this, whatever it is. Like, you don't need me anymore.
Hmm. Where is Sanguinea?
He looks down at himself and he's like, before you did this, Z was out there. I've always been Sanguinea a little bit, but I was Sanguinea all the way. And I need to be that still.
Okay, so you want me to undo what I did?
I mean, yeah, I think so.
I can try, but I don't know if it'll work or what the consequences would be.
Look, I tell you what I think is happening. Well, hold on, let me throw something for Jack, actually.
Please.
Okay, that was 3 successes, including the... Well, that's a Jack of Hearts, not a Queen of Hearts. It's a very cute card, though. All right. So 3 successes for Jack. Which, you know, Jack of Hearts almost should be a crit, but it should be Jack of Spades. Anyway. Jack says, I think I know what happened. I know what this is to a degree. This is the magic of Providence and Pandemonium affecting
you. Oh, and... definitely.
Okay, so you know some things about them. They brought Sanguinia back, and they're going to let me be just Jack Spade the dog again. And honestly, that sounds great. And so, yeah, if you could just undo whatever you did, that's probably for the best.
Jack, I don't know if that's a good idea.
It's definitely good. Like, I know Providence of Pandemonium is bad, but, like, this is kind of good. Because Sanguinia was a lot bigger and stronger and more capable than I am. I mean, I'm a dog. I mean, look, I know I do all right for myself, but I don't... Why isn't it a good idea?
Well, I'm worried about a few things. I'm worried about... If we get Sanguinia back, that means that you'll be gone, and you're one of my closest friends. I would hate to lose you, and that's perhaps selfish of me, but I'm also worried about if you're not here, do we need to call Kronoshava in on this? Because... If you're not here, if it's like you never were here, does that mess with the timeline and create a paradox and then we never found suits together?
I don't think it's quite that complicated. It's just, I mean, look.
But what if it is?
I mean, what if it is, I mean, you'll love Sanguinia, first of all. I mean, I have all of their memories, so I'm a little bit more canine than Benzi was, but, you know, we have a lot of the same traits. Z sheds a lot less, for sure. And look, Vellum, I appreciate everything you've done with me. But I just don't... When Sanguinia gave me Zier... intelligence, whatever it is that he did exactly. As he said to me, finish our mission. And it's been a long time, a lot longer than I thought, because the mission was never about just defeating Morpholomew. That was never why Sanguinia left Sol and Spade. It was more than that. There's something I never told you, Vellum.
What's that?
People have their theories about why these so-called thaumaturgic incidents occur, and they're partially right. We can't use magic anymore. There's magic in the air, and so it uses itself. That's sort of true. But it's not the whole story. The whole story is a story about Sol and Spade. It's where Sanguinia and I come from. It is a town... a city beneath Clovenheart. I'm sure you know this if you know about Providence and Pandemonium. And the people there worship Providence and Pandemonium. And more importantly, in addition to worshiping, they were we'll call them PNP. They were PNP's keeper. And there was this great maze that went underneath the entire continent. And anyone who could solve the challenge of the maze was granted access to Providence and Pandemonium's power. They got to draw from the deck. Someone abuse this power. I don't know who. Nobody does. We only know that it was abused. Providence of Pandemonium is ashamed of this. Someone figured out how to cheat the maze, solve it over and over and over again. And, well, I believe that person was Morpholomew. So does Sanguinea. That's why we wanted to depose him. And a schism formed in Sol and Spade. Those who thought P&P was too dangerous should be locked up and never used again. And those who now call themselves Bridge, who wish to find new ways to introduce P&P to the world. But to stop that individual from abusing the maze anymore, we destroyed the maze. Or rather, to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm.
We cut off the tunnels that made up the maze from the from Solon Spade. Vasa Obscura is built in those tunnels, for example. Mm-hmm. There's tunnels like it beneath the city. It was all over, like I said, it spanned the entire continent.
Right.
And places where those tunnels exist, P&P's power still leaks out. That is what causes thaumaturgic incidents in Vasa Natura and the surrounding areas, is the unpredictable magic of Providence of Pandemonium. And so, Sanguinea's mission was to correct the sins of Sol and Spade. I'm trying. And you didn't know that you were trying, but you're trying to. And I don't know. I just don't think I'm doing a very good job. And I think that I want Sanguinea back. Ela, can you flip? We'll say like a wit empathy.
Okay. Wit is 3. Empathy is 1. None for healthy. Got a jack, an ace, and a joker.
Okay. I'll say the main thing is, you know Jack Spade quite well. This is coming from very clearly, like, I mean, I think that Ela probably knows this, but just to make it explicitly clear, coming from a place of, like, it's not a logical thing, you know, this is not, you don't think these are Jack's truest feelings. You think this is coming from a place of all of Jack's pain and insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
But the joker of it all is that, you know, you realize that maybe you don't know Jack as fully as you thought. At least there clearly are new elements to him you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you just find yourself in a confusing and obviously overwhelming situation of like, well, how do you relate to this friend who is now, like, you know, there are layers to him that you never understood.
Right. Jack, what would I even tell Greggins?
Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
One hit KO from Slash Velo.
Oh my god, that hit Jordan in the tummy.
Good. It should.
Yeah, no, that was so good. That's perfect. Oh my gosh. So, the viney, stumpy legs of Sanguinea kind of recede into the pumpkin part. The pumpkin is just, like, on the ground. And Jack's head, like, recedes into the pumpkin.
Hmm.
And from the painted on, or like patterned on, mouth on the pumpkin of Sanguinea's form, impossibly comes tumbling out the regular corgi-sized form of Jack Spade.
Aww.
Can Vellum catch him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
And he's a little heavy. Corgis are thick. I don't know if you guys have ever held a corgi. They're big. They're powerful boys.
And like a soft sack of potatoes.
Absolutely. And he's like, I think Greggins would be really sad.
I think so too.
And the world spins around Vellum as Merafina teleports everyone elsewhere and teleports us to the Mitro.
Doodly doodly doo.
That's a good scene.
Good.
Vitro.
Oh yeah, I start these. Good afternoon, morning, or evening, everybody. My name is Jordan Quiverins. I am your GM slash host slash wingman of this here podcast. Sometimes make you sad about a dog, and you know that's just life. My pronouns are they them. Find me on Blue Sky at Jordan Quiverins. You can find me on Instagram at Jordan and Quiverins. You can find me primarily, bestly, on our Discord, Many of Hearts, which you can find a link to in the description. Today's fact is about Greggins, which is just that he doodles at work. He draws little comics.
Oh, no.
He doesn't share them with anybody, but he has 100% drawn comics where maybe it's a whole series where Jack is very big and he, like, carries Greggins around in his mouth.
Oh.
Oh.
So that's just a thing.
Spar has definitely left, like, comic issues of Clifford the Big Red Dog on Greggins' seat.
Oh.
He is 100%, adorable. like in his regular, just leafing through Suits files just to know what's up, has seen the comics.
And so this is, like, a threat. Not a threat, but, like, I know what you're up to.
It's a making fun of. It's a teasing.
Yeah.
Because okay. he doesn't sign his name or anything. It's just, like, some days Greggins comes in and there's, like, a Clifford the Big Red Dog.
So he knows somebody knows.
He knows somebody knows.
Oh.
Clifford the Big Red Dog is canon. Beautiful.
I mean, to bring everything full circle, as in what we have talked about off mic and between recording, who out there hasn't wanted to sleep on Totoro's big tummy?
It's true.
Right.
Totoro or Snorlax, which are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I was Totoro for Halloween one year at a party where I was, in fact, like the center point of a cuddle puddle. So
that makes a lot of sense.
Good.
Made that dream come true for some people.
And I love to use my corgis as a pillow. So a giant corgi, ideal.
It'd be so good. Yeah.
Essa, you're on this podcast too.
I sure am. Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Merim Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. You can find me on Tumblr at Citrus and Salt, although I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're listening to this pod, you probably do want to find me there, actually. It's going to be like, I don't know why you'd want to do that, but like, nah, you know what you're in for. My Spar fact for the day is a Sparnish Bala fact, which is that on, I don't know if it was their very, very first mission that they went together, but like one of the very first missions they went on together, they were investigating some thaumaturgic pumpkins, and Ishbala did the crocodile like death roll, like grabbed like one of the pumpkins like in her jaws. God. and like took it down that way, and Spar was like, yep, that's the one for me, this is my partner now.
I love that so much.
Very good.
Ela.
Hi, this is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I use they and he pronouns. I play Agent Vellum, who also uses they and he pronouns. Today's fact is a little rambly and a lot about language and somehow relates to Vellum. Just go with me.
Okay, I'm here. I'm with you.
All right. So last time we mentioned a mountain range called, what'd we call it?
What a good question. I can find out really quickly for you.
Sha de Guanshan. Nope.
You got it. Okay.
So, where does that come from? It comes from Mandarin. Sha de Guanshan would translate to Hero's Crown Mountain. And part of that stems from there is a legend of heroes coming from that mountain range. And it's long enough ago that there weren't common languages between people in that area. And so there's been generations and a little bit of confusion over the years. It's also why it's got multiple names. One of the other names is Bulwark's Embrace.
I think we kind of, like, what we loosely came to is, like, there's two groups of people. There was, like, the humans were part of Yue Liang, and then there was, like, the halflings who lived at the town in the center, Riddell's Roost. So those are, like, where the two different names come from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there were legends of these heroes from these mountains, that is partially where the name of the mountain comes from. However, there was a mispronunciation, a mistranslation somewhere along the lines. You play telephone and words change. So instead of being Shan Sha for mountain hero, it changed to Qian Qia for immortal hero, which is, if you are at all familiar with Chinese fantasy historical genre kung fu movies, Qian Qia is the genre where people use kung fu and fly around on their swords and sometimes fight gods, and it's great. So, There is a portion of people that live in Yue Liang that believe that that mountain range is where some of these legends of immortal heroes come from. And I would like you all to imagine a young Babi Vellum and his Gaga Qingjiao talking excitedly about heroes riding around on swords and how cool that would be.
I'm imagining it, and it's good.
Yes.
Did we mention where to find you on social media?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, great. Well, then I think we can go back to the episode. Wait, Did we say anything else on this? I don't think so. It's all in the credits. Bye.
Jordan just tucking and rolling to get out of the car. Just fucking bye.
fully ladybirding out of the vehicle. Room with the bunk beds.
Does Jack and Vellum awaken?
Yes. So, okay. Let's start. Wait, I'll tell you when you wake up, which is going to be in a second here. Nat has just, like, huffed loudly and, like, stands up and is about to say something to Spar. And then at the same time, Ishbala, who's been watching this scene the whole time, is about to say something to Spar. And then at the same time,
Vellum sits up and is going to say something to Spar.
Vellum sits up and bumps his head directly into Max. Sorry, into Cowlin. To Cowlin Harrington, whose head is like over Vellum, making sure he's okay. And then Cowlin Harrington goes, ow! And then accidentally, like, backs into Jack, who's getting up, who goes, arf! And then Vellum says, exactly.
And then Vellum says, the fuck just happened?
His head now hurts.
Yeah, I guess first he would also say ow.
Uh-huh. And Spar now realizes for the first time that Vellum was unconscious, is now conscious.
I don't know that Spar realizes that. I think what he sees, right, is like, oh yeah, Vellum was laying down. I don't know, maybe he fell over or something, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's so
he still hasn't gotten all the way there. Like, uh-huh. I think a thing that is, like, always with podcasts, right, talking takes much more time than action. Uh-huh. But also, Spar has been either physically in a fight or physically trying to de-escalate someone from being in a fight.
Right.
For the entire 2 minutes that Vellum was unconscious.
So true.
I think I want to rewind a little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just to Vellum waking up. I don't know that he would get up right away.
Okay.
I think that whole experience was kind of discombobulating. And maybe he's a bit dazed and trying to, like, in the way that you try to grasp the little threads of the dream that you were having as you're starting to wake up before it slips from your fingers, he's like trying to remember what all he and Jack talked about and what it felt like to be in that liminal space and to analyze it.
Okay. Well, then in that case, Nat gets up in a huff and starts walking over to Vellum and Jack and, like, reaching for the sword, for her sword, and
Spar tackles her.
Good.
Like,
Ishbala also tackles her.
Yeah, I think as soon as he sees her, like, start to look over toward Vellum and Jack, he's, like, already, because they're still, like, within arm's reach of each other.
For sure. So
he just goes to, like, scoop her up again.
Oh my god. Okay, can you flip, I guess, another brawn athletics for me? No, agility athletics, because Ishbala is also trying to tackle, and I just want to know how this is going to play out.
Agility is 3, athletics is 2, so that's 5. I would argue that this is combat.
Sure, yeah, you can use your sleuthing.
Thank you. So that's 6. That's a crit.
Oh, dear.
And 2 more successes on top of that. 5 successes again to just take Nat the fuck down.
All right. Oh, hold on, I didn't even flip for Nat in this situation. Hold on. Oh, my God. Okay, this is perfect. So each ball goes to tackle Nat. And Nat, who, as a reminder, has some Godex powers, is a paladin, makes, like, a little burst of yellow light come out of her that just, like, knocks Ishbala backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But as a joker, we're going to say Spar is still, because Nat got a joker, we're going to say Spar is still writing off some Godex, you know, his little cool yell from before. And the magic just completely washes over Spar, doesn't affect him whatsoever, as he successfully wrestles Nat.
So what I also imagine is that he's sort of, like, grabbing her and then, like, covering her with his body, like she's a grenade that's gonna go off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
for sure.
I imagine that there's at least a moment of this maneuver where basically he's holding her in front of him and, like, she's pointed at Ishbala. And so, like, basically he accidentally fires Nat at Ishbala.
That's so good. That's perfect. Yep.
And then he, like, gets her on the ground and, like, is basically pinning her with his whole body because she's a halfling and he's not. And he knows a thing or two about manhandling a halfling.
I think a frustrated Ishbala is just going to sit on Spar.
I think Spar knows enough to, like, get himself wiggled around. Like, he and Ishbala have tussled and, like, gotten tangled in each other. He can, like, wiggle around enough that he can still breathe under this pile and then is like, yeah, this is fine. Like, I don't... what I care about is Nat not going anywhere, and Nat's not going to go anywhere in this arrangement. So
what's Vellum doing while this is happening?
I guess is Max, like, trying to wake up Vellum? Does Jack go over and lick his cheek?
Yeah, like, so Max is, like, just kind of standing by Vellum, like, took his pulse, found out he's still alive, and is just, like, not necessarily trying to wake Vellum up, but just, like, standing, kind of kneeling over him, sort of standing guard. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Jack comes over and boops his little damp snoot on Vellum's cheek.
Vellum, like, kind of jerks his head away because he's surprised because it's cold and a little wet. You know, like, furrows his brows and then, like, slowly, like, blinks his eyes and starts to push himself up into a sitting position, looks over and sees this confused wrestling cuddle puddle that is Ishbala, Nat, and Spar, and says, "What I miss?"
Ishbala, who's, I mean, not Ishbala, Merafina, who's like catching her breath, leaning against the wall of this little room. And by the way, I would say this room is like kind of long, but it's also narrow. So all of this is happening in like fairly tight quarters. Mm-hmm. Merafina says, nothing out of the ordinary. For us, I should say.
Good.
For once, Spar doesn't disagree. That is an accurate assessment of the situation.
Max says, I'm glad you're okay, future me. What happened?
That is an excellent question. Hold that thought. And he looks over to Jack and tries to communicate with Jack telepathically again.
Mm.
To say, like, can you hear me still?
Loud and clear.
Okay, good.
Thank you for that. Thank you very much, Callan.
Of course. Vellum turns to Max and says, magic stuff happened.
Max nods sagely. And kind of looks around and says, well, I'm not exactly sure where we are. And Merafina says, I took us to the Arms of Alma. They are a dedicated peacekeeping group. I know they have a church here. And it seems like a good place to rest. Keep us off the streets until proper morning comes.
I like this plan.
Merafina, like, fully, like, I don't think anyone in this group has ever seen her this, like, haggard and just, like, fully collapses onto a bed.
Mm. I think Vellum gets up to go and check on her, see if she needs anything.
Yeah. She says, you know, I am a goddess of Clovenheart. A lot of people turn their heads at that statement. Says, I am very far from where I belong. And expending my powers to bring us here was slightly more than I can bear. I don't think I'll be very useful.
Can Vellum try to do some magic?
You sure can. What do you want to do?
I think he's going to try to do some runic magic. To kind of heal slash revitalize her a little bit.
Love that.
Yeah, that's the plan anyway.
It sounds like intelligence, arcana to me.
Okay. I'm determined not to use body and mind today, apparently.
That seems to be your recent curse.
Yep. There's, you know, there's a lot of magic going on.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you weren't even in your body for most of this episode.
All right, what we got? That's 4 for intelligence, 4 for arcana. I got a king and a queen. And that's it.
That's pretty good. That's 2
diamonds.
Okay. Here's what I'll give you. You're sort of like, when you sort of heal someone like this, you get a supernatural glimpse into like their well-being and can sort of feel like a sympathetic imagining of what their pain is like. You can feel that Ishbala, I don't know why I keep getting their names confused. You can feel that
Green.
Actually, here's some deep lore. Merafina's name was originally going to be Ishbala.
Oh, well, yeah, that'd do it. That would actually, that's even more compelling than
than Green. Merafina is both weak and in pain. You see her kind of like wincing. And the weak is godic stuff. Mm-hmm. And the magic that mortals can wield, thanks to Thaumaterra, and the magic that goddesses wield just naturally are like two forces of the universe that cannot talk to each other or interact with each other. So you cannot help the weak part. Mm. But you can help the in pain part, and you do.
Okay.
You soothe her significantly. And you can feel that she appreciates it and would say as such, but she drifts off into a peaceful sleep.
Okay.
Over the course of the spell. Meanwhile, Ishbala is talking to Spar while sitting on him. And says, "You seem like one of the more responsible people here, based on my sort of once over. So what, you can tell me what the hell is going on, and who are you?"
That is an essay and a Spar laugh. Spar is like, would love to, can breathe, but not great. Storytelling goes better with better access to lungs.
Okay, you can tell, she like eases up a little bit and is about to get up and says, "If you do anything fishy, I'll eat you the way that I would a fish, as in one bite."
Good.
I think I'm a little tougher than that, but point taken.
You're a little bigger than one fish as well.
She stands up and says, "I don't know who's all affected, what's going on here, so try to stay with me. I'm an agent of Scales, an organization that investigates magical phenomenon based out of Vasa Natura. This town, according to my intelligence, is in the past or something. And I am here to figure out what is causing that. I believe in your timeline, Vasa Natura is just an elf city, and you probably don't know about crocodile people, so I know this might be a little alarming to you. But just go with me. I'm from Vasa Natura. I can help."
And your name is Ishbala. Does Ishbala have siblings?
Yeah, you can name her brother for me. She has one brother and 48 biological cousins.
Yes, he names her brother, and he says, "And your least favorite cousin," and names honestly three of them. It's a three-way tie.
Okay, that is very alarming to her.
he continues, like, seeing her alarm. By the way, he is still, like, holding Nat.
Yeah, of course.
We'll get to a slightly better holding pattern for her in a moment, but he's like trying to connect with Ishbala. He's like,
"Yeah,
you are mostly right about our timeline. In our timeline, you and I work for Suits," which, and then he gives the acronym for Suits that I know because I'm good at being on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Securing understanding.
Nope.
Securing
unexplained injurious thaumaturgic. Securing unexplained injurious thaumaturgic situations.
Yes, that one.
That one.
He's like, yes. Vasa Natura did used to be a primarily elf city. It's now quite cosmopolitan. Still not a great presence of crocodilians. You're right there. But like, you and I are friends. Mm-hmm. My version of you and I are friends.
Okay, well, I don't know you. I don't know what Suits is.
It's Scales.
That doesn't make any sense.
In my time, it's the same organization.
Okay, well, there are no humans. You look kind of like your ears. Half-elves in Scales.
What about sentient dogs?
She looks at you like that's a weird question and says no.
Spar looks over at Vellum and is like, okay, well, I mean, we just have the one, really. So that's not really a fair question.
He is a very important part of the organization, I would say.
Sure, but I just wouldn't say sentient dogs, plural, when I'm trying to establish, like, our parallel timelines and what's similar and what's different. At this, like, Spart moving very slowly is, like, taking Nat's sword from her and is, like, trying to fish out something to tie her up, like, very slowly keeping...
Okay, all right.
Keeping Ishbala, like, in line of sight so she can see he's not moving suddenly.
Yep. Nat is definitely, like... she's not fighting back. She's like, she is also curious as to what the fuck is going on at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like, okay, being mad is not effective here.
Mm-hmm. I think Velum's going to look at Ishbala and say, did you ever have a case that involved the gambler's knives?
I didn't think so until today. I don't know what the hell that's about. But no, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Yes, I do have some weird memories of Avast and Natura. That is kind of like what you explained, but only for what you explained, but only for one day.
Okay.
Are you saying you're from a different timeline? My Avast and Natura, my scales is run by King Claudio.
That must be a much worse Avast and Natura. Is he still a dick to you in your timeline? Does he still fucking suck? Do we need to go?
Does he fucking suck? No, he's, I mean, no.
He's a good boss. That's great. No, yeah, he fucking sucks over here. He's really mean to you and your family. Hmm. Yeah. Well, fuck him. I'm glad not for you though. I'm glad for you that you have a much better relationship with him. Because like he's like powerful and weirdly beautiful, so that's good, honestly.
She's like, yeah, I mean, I agree. Why he doesn't fucking suck. What is going on?
You and our good friend, Nat, both have a memory of this day that involved the gambler's dice. And Spar and myself have also experienced that day a couple times now. Just the two, I think. Right? He looks at Spar.
Spar shrugs and is like, I think so. But I wouldn't put money on it at this point.
Fair.
Just in case. Like, mm-hmm, you know, having met mm-hmm. Gambler, like, I don't know. Twice, I think, though. Yeah. Good odds. Good odds it's twice.
So and I'm not really sure what was happening in Stoneloft before we got here. But the gambler thing happened after we got here. So that may have complicated matters some.
Ishbala just stares at Velum for a long time and says, well, actually, Velum, can you give me I don't even know. Give me intelligent empathy.
Okay.
To try to, like, connect.
I was going to ask if Velum can try to figure out what's going on as a flip.
Oh, okay. Sure. Give me... Actually, I think that's intelligent empathy. I like that. Give me intelligent empathy.
Okay.
Can I assist as, like, having... As Spar having, like, tried to lay this out and, like, contributing what he knows about Ishbala?
Sure. Actually, I believe you have a cool ability now where Velum could just use your empathy stat.
Ooh.
It would be, it says my stats, and so my intelligence is worse than his. And so I don't know if I need to contribute both my attribute and my skill, or if I could just give him one or the other.
I think one or the other is fine.
Okay. In that case, then, yeah, Velum, you can flip with 4 empathy.
Okay. 4 for intelligence, 4 for Spar's empathy. What do we get? Oh, this is looking great. Mm-hmm. Hmm. I think I'm going to drive some. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Okay. I think I'll take that.
Remember, we're ending the hot episode here, so we can ante some jokers if we need.
Also good. Before I said I should drive, I had none success, one joker.
We can ante that.
And now... I have spent 2/3 of my drive, but I have a Queen of Clubs and a Queen of Hearts.
Ooh.
Nice.
So that makes it 4 successes, one
nice.
Joker.
That's really good.
Okay. 4 successes, no joker. Let's ante it.
Okay.
Cool.
So that's great. So you can, here's what I'll say. Especially because you talked to Ishbala and learned about her family situation to a degree in the in the alternate time, you know, in the gambler situation.
Mm-hmm.
In the body swap timeline, you're able to piece together, Vellum, that, and, you know, having talked to Jack, beyond the time stuff, which is maybe still a little bit unclear to you, actually, no, because Vellum knows a lot about Stonelock. Vellum, you're going to get a lot, put a lot together here.
All right. I'm in my mind palace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the equations.
Getting her note taken, arm ready again. All right, I'm ready. Here we go. Let's go.
Okay.
I'm stretching.
All right. okay. So, Providence of Pandemonium, at least ostensibly, is like trying to offer people like better lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Jack, who was offered a simpler life where Sanguinea is still alive and Jack is just a dog.
Right.
Ishbala seems to be have been given a reality where she did not have to reject a significant portion of her family in order to join suits. And the entire city of Stoneloft lived in pretty much in denial of the war when it was happening by holding up behind its walls and not acknowledging the outside world. And as Spar observed with the guns, they see this whole town seems to be under the illusion that it exists during that timeline or in that era. And so it seems like people are being given their kind of ideal fantasy version of the way their lives could have gone. Or in this case, also what time they even live in.
I have a question about Stoneloft. Why is their ideal during the war?
Their ideal during the war is because for them, it was an incredibly safe time.
Okay. But they're not safe post-war?
Things got a lot more politically complicated in Stoneloft. And there was a lot of tragedy. Well, for basically, Stoneloft was more Fallenmew's final stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
He took it over after he lost Vos and Natura. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of fighting ended up happening in Stoneloft, which I'm sure resulted in a lot of death and destruction. And so it's definitely just a less rattled and sad town history. I mean, especially when you consider the war only ended 20 years ago. Probably much happier to live in a more Fallenmew takeover timeline.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense. I just thought, like, maybe with the power of fantasy, why not a world in which there is no war?
Yeah, so that's a question we still have to answer.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, Vellum, you sort of put all of that together. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're talking this out or what, but with Spar, I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah, I think he would talk it out.
Okay.
I don't know if there's... Go ahead.
I think this is... I was going to say, yeah, I think this is probably... Right, because, like, what Spar does is he likes to work with people. To figure, and so, like, right, if somebody's like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, here's what I understand. What do you understand? And so I think that this is, like, Vellum giving the pieces, Spar giving the pieces he has, and then Ishbala from her timeline, like, explaining, and Max, right? Like, it's, I think, a conversation of everybody, possibly except Nat and Mirafina, who's not conscious.
Awake, yeah.
But, yeah, I imagine this is, like, a collaborative, like, pieces putting together for everybody who wants to be part of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nat's definitely just listening. She seems unaffected by this, you know, for what that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
At least she doesn't voice that, like, you guys are explaining a reality that's so far removed from hers. Actually, you know what? I think she would chip in and say, like, that Spar and Vellum's version of reality, like, that is what she understands also. So we need to convince Ishbala still. So Spar, can you give me presence empathy to break through to your friend?
So presence is 2 and empathy is 4. So that's 6.
Okay.
2 successes.
Okay. You see her try to understand, and like she wants to believe you, but she also, I mean, her version of reality is a better one for her. And that purple, that pink magic in her eye, like, does not quite go away. But she says, I don't know what this means for me, but I am okay with operating under the assumption that what you're saying is true for now.
And I think that's all Spar would want.
Yeah.
I essay know that because we're in a story, Ishbala needs to be brought back to our reality at some point.
Right.
But Spar doesn't know he's in a fictional podcast with names. And so what's if this means that there is a world, if there is a parallel world where Ishbala gets to be like part of her family and happy, and that's something that she wants to choose, he wants that for her. Like, he will be sad. He will be so sad. But it'll be the sadness of, like, yeah, sometimes people have to leave your life.
Right.
And so, like, he is not yet operating under the assumption of, I need to break this illusion. Yeah. He doesn't know if it's an illusion. So that is exactly what he was hoping for, is, like, work with me and we'll figure this out.
That's awesome. Okay. That sounds so good. Wow, good job, team. You guys have almost solved my Stoneloft puzzle, kind of. You've solved, like, first step of Stoneloft puzzle, I would say. As you guys are all talking this out, there's actually a knock on the door to this little bunk room, this dorm, and a voice you don't recognize says, "Hello?"
Who's there?
My name's Anaya. I work with the church.
Oh. One moment. Velum's gonna look at Spar.
Spar nods.
Okay. Velum will open the door slowly and he'll say, hi.
So you open the door and there is a halfling woman there. A dark-skinned halfling woman with long hair, like almost to the floor. And Spar, you, especially having heard her name, you recognize this person from photograph only. And you know that she worked for the Arms of Alma, too. This is Anaya Whittlesby, Anya's deceased mother.
Cool, good, great.
She says, "I'm Anaya Whittlesby, and whoever you are, Bridge welcomes you."
Good.
And that is where we will leave off on this episode.
That's just great.
Cool, good. Cool. Good and cool. This is marginally bad. I was also prepared for this to be an alternate version, Anya. And this is very slightly less upsetting.
Hey, Essay. Don't get less upset just yet.
Great, cool.
Oh, no.
Thanks. I love to not be less upset. That's good for me, actually. That's good for me. What you told, that's good. Thank you. That's a gift to me that you've given.
Three of Hearts is Essay Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Velum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our mid-tro theme is At Last a Piano, and our outro is Ghost plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Before we do mid-tro, this is pod related. Can I recap what I think I understood from the last conversation?
Sure.
Okay. So, Sullen Spade used to worship P&P, Pride and Prejudice.
Yep.
And
love Jane Austen down there.
I mean, yeah, no, like somebody's got to, right? and it used to be that there was like a failsafe in place where it's like if you solve the maze, then you can draw from the deck. Correct. And you can have access to like a sip of godly power, kind of, right?
Correct, correct.
Okay. And then somebody, possibly but not definitively Morpholemew, mm-hmm. gamed the system, figured out how to cheat through the maze.
Correct.
And won a bunch of times.
He learned how to speed run it.
Mm-hmm. Correct, correct.
Glitched okay. through the system.
And then there was a split about what to do where, I don't know if it's half and half, but one faction was like, well, that sure was fucked up. We got to close this whole system down. Uh-huh. And like collapsed parts of the tunnels to like cut off access.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the part I'm a tiny bit fuzzy on because I was trying to take notes and listen at the same time. The other faction became Bridge. And Bridge's solution was, so we'll bring the power to everybody? Is that like what their political...
Yeah, we'll bring the power. We'll bring the power. Yeah, bring the power to everybody so that everyone has access to it instead of only the special people who game the system and then become yeah. godly powerful. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Cool. Okay.
Yep.
And then what we identify as spontaneous thaumaturgic incidents are places where Providence and Pandemonium's power, the power of Providence and Pandemonium.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Pop Filter. where that, like, bubbles up through the remains of the old tunnels.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Got so much, so much just happened. You're right, in terms of world building. That your recap of all of that should be, like, the post-credit scene to this episode.
Yeah, I usually when Ela or I ask clarifying questions, I do leave it in because if there's something we didn't 100%, like, yeah. fully get... Our audience like definitely didn't, but yeah, I will pop this somewhere in the probably post credits.
Yeah, this is stuff that I like have been thinking about for obviously a long time, and then realized like yesterday, like, damn it, this is like all gonna come out in like one scene, which is not really what I wanted. So
it was anyway. A good scene though. It was a very good scene, and like Ela Thank with you. The KO, like Jesus,
that's so good. that's so good. I mean, this is. I will say in the back of my head, I'm like. I hope Ela brings up Gregan because that's like the easy, that's like the KO. And
mm-hmm. I was thinking about Thank it you. For like half of Jack talking about.
I could PNP. Tell because you were just like, the timing of the gut punch was perfect.
Yeah.